You're listening to episode 351 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Building Psych Strength podcast. I'm Dr. April, and I am thrilled that you're here. You know, it's no doubt that in our lives right now, we face a lot of adversity. I mean, personally, like just individually in our lives, we all face our individual personal challenges. But what has been unique and really difficult about the last handful of years, take that number to mean whatever sticks out in your mind. The last handful of years, there's been a lot of collective adversity between the pandemic and the political divide that we see on television, and then more recent events surrounding the shooting at the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. It has been incredibly challenging. There is so much going on in the news, and it can make it all difficult to handle. We can end up in an emotional state that feels really difficult to handle. Now, fortunately, psychology has a set of tools to help us do that. And sometimes it can be difficult to bridge the gap between, you know, the conceptual things that we talk about on this podcast or in the field of psych and practically when to apply them in our lives. So what I wanted to do today is give you a tool that you can use whenever you're going through something difficult. This could be now as you're processing recent events. This could be just interpersonally as you individually encounter challenge. And that tool is something called a self-compassion break. Now, you might have noticed the really quick audio that I released the day after the shooting at the elementary school in Uvalde. I just at the last minute decided to host a free self-compassion break for whomever wanted to join. And we had quite a few people take us up on it. We invited the folks on our Peak Mind newsletter subscription. We invited everybody on the podcast through that really quick audio and link that I released. We invited people through LinkedIn and other social channels. But not everybody could make it right at the last minute. And so I wanted to give you the audio from that self-compassion break so that you have it, so that you can use it and turn to it anytime when it might be helpful. So the audio that follows in this episode is the audio from that self-compassion break that I led just randomly at the last minute after the recent events in Texas. And I, again, wanted to give it to you in case it's something you might find useful. Please listen to the entire thing. There's some great Q&A at the end where we talk a little bit about how to apply self-compassion in your life. Also at the beginning, before we actually do the exercise, I talk a bit about the three components of self-compassion. And then finally, at the end of this podcast episode, I have some important things that I want to tell you about what it means to support other people. There were a lot of questions about what do I say to my kid? How do I support my kid through something like this? Or when other people go through difficult times or challenging times, how do I support other people in the difficulty that they're going through? I have a really important take on that that I want to make sure that you hear. So hang out. Run through this exercise, the self-compassion break with me, and then stay for the end for some important information about how to support other people when they're going through difficulty. We can go ahead and get started and just let other people filter in. Thank you so much. This is more people than I expected to join, and I'm glad that you're all here. You know, we all heard the news of what happened in Texas yesterday. And then, I mean, unfortunately, it's not an isolated event. It's not isolated or unique even more recently. So a lot of events that have happened recently are just heavy on us. And I felt
like a lot of people felt that I wanted to take action and do something. And the only thing that I knew how to do in a short amount of time was to hop on and share one technique that is shown through gobs and gobs of data, think thousands and thousands of studies, to be effective in helping us deal with difficult emotions. And that is self-compassion. And it's interesting because self-compassion, I'm going to lead you through an exercise here in just a minute, but to give you a little bit of background, self-compassion is one of the topics in psychology that gets very misunderstood. It is seen as almost fluffy, or like it isn't going to be as impactful as it is. And what we find is the type, like self-compassion, as we think about it in research and in the field of psychology, has three really important components. And when you put those components together, what happens is we develop this relationship with ourselves that is one of a deepening of self-trust, a feeling that we are supported, even if no one else is around us. It's also a place of non-judgment, where emotions are allowed to just be as they are. Additionally, you've probably heard of some of the just brain science behind fight or flight responses. So when we, when our mind hears about threatening things, we go into sort of a fight or flight response, whether that's happening to us personally or whether we are watching it happen or play out like we're seeing on the news. Our mind reacts to some degree as though it's happening to us. And that fight or flight response just creates a lot of stress hormones, et cetera. Now, what's interesting about it is that self-compassion, they've done the brain science research on it and have found that self-compassion has sort of the opposite effect. It has the effect of helping us calm down, helping us emotionally self-regulate, and helping us be in a better relationship with ourselves and our emotions. So there's a lot of research behind it. When we're done with this exercise, I'll share just a few other resources that you can go to if you are interested in this topic and you want to go even deeper. There's one book in particular that I think for this particular topic is uniquely positioned to help you think about how you might want to respond going forward, which is what I'm hearing from a lot of people, like, I don't know what to do. So I'll give you that book when we're done with this exercise. You are all on my Zoom link in a webinar. That means nobody can see cameras, nobody can hear audio. So you don't have to feel like anybody's going to see you or hear what's happening. You're completely isolated in that way. You're private from others who are on this feed. And that was deliberate on my part, because I think there's a lot of, while I definitely wanted us to feel a sense of community today, there's also a lot of vulnerability that comes during a situation like the one that we're in. So let's jump in really quick to the exercise that I wanted to do with you today. And it's something called a self-compassion break. It's a way for us to tap into those three components of self-compassion. I'll talk about those in a minute and what those are. And it's a way for us to be in a better relationship with our emotions. So this will take the form of more of a meditation or a visualization or a guided experience. So just get really comfortable in your chair. And for this situation, I would really encourage you to ground your feet on the floor or pay special attention to where your body meets a hard surface. So maybe it is, in my case, my arms on my desk or my seat on my chair, my feet on the floor. Pay attention to where your body is meeting a stable surface. Now just do a quick body scan about how your body feels. Feel it like it's a field of energy. Where do you feel like you have more intensity and maybe less? Don't forget to focus on your back as well. Lots of times we focus forward, because that's our point of view, but focus on your back, your whole 360 of your body. And just for a couple of breaths, let's follow our breath really intently with our attention. Our goal here is to hone our attention and to get it in our control so that we can use it for the rest of this exercise. So for your next 2 to 3 breaths, pay attention to your breath, especially the space in between breaths before you inhale and before you exhale. Now I want you to think about the events that we have all heard about in the last day, week, and there's likely other events going on in your life. Pick the one that you're struggling with. This might be unique for each person on this stream. Really think about it. Think about the details of it. And the first thing I want you to notice is whether you have a sense of wanting to pull away from that event, avoid. Stay with it. Keep that event in mind. And I want you to pay attention. Use that attention that we honed to scan your body. Notice physical sensations. How does your body feel? Do you feel warm in places or heavy? How about emotions? What are your emotions surrounding that event? And think about specific emotions. Not bad or awful. Think about it specifically. Is it fear? Is it anger? More specifically, hatred? Disbelief? Sadness? Confusion? Jealousy, disillusionment. Put a name to those emotions. Scan even further. Is there anything positive there? Do you feel any gratitude? Is there an ounce of relief? Take a moment to be really present with those emotions. And if you feel that sense of wanting to avoid or pull away, remember you are bigger than any emotion that you feel. Your capacity to feel difficult emotions is bigger than any emotion you can experience. Take just a minute to tap into those emotions. And as you do that, as you feel those emotions, where they are in your body, how you would describe them, remember that you are not alone. The situation that you have in mind, whether it's the events yesterday or something else, you're not alone. The feelings that accompany it, you're not the only one who's felt them or who is feeling them. So many other people are going through the exact same thing right now. And if you think about those other people, how do you think they feel? Probably pretty similar to you. people who have gone through this before, unfortunately, they have likely felt the exact same way. People who will go through it in the future, hopefully not, but realistically, they will likely feel the same way. I bet they're experiencing a lot of the same things that you are. Those same feelings, those same reactions. They are so human. They're not uniquely yours. You are not alone in this. I want you to turn your focus on yourself. I want you to physically give yourself some kind of kind touch. Maybe you're going to put your hands over your heart and press on your chest just a little bit. Maybe you're going to squeeze your arms and give yourself what feels like a hug. Maybe it feels really good to just cup your face in your hands. Or maybe if one of the feelings that you had previously was anger, think about making a fist, putting that fist on your chest and holding it. And with whatever touch feels the most helpful to you, see if you can extend a kindness to yourself, kind words to yourself, the way that you would do to your best friend if they felt the way you do right now. What would you say to someone else who's facing the same problem? It's normal that you're feeling this way. And can you extend that kindness to yourself? An understanding, a support that says, I see you, I get you. This is hard. You are bigger than this. Can you say the same thing to yourself? I see you. I get you. This is hard. And you're bigger than this. Stay in that supportive physical gesture for just one more minute. And when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes. What we just went through involves the three components of self-compassion. Those components are mindfulness. They involve paying attention to our emotions without judgment, to just naming them, not deciding whether they're right or wrong, whether you should or shouldn't feel them. We're just allowing them to be there and stating what is. That's all we mean by that. So mindfulness, we're just stating what is. The second component, when we get in a state of feeling threatened, our attention tends to narrow and we tend to focus on our individual situation. And we know that that's not psychologically protective. Community is psychologically protective. So that second component is called common humanity. It helps to connect to the idea that other people are going through the same thing that you are. It also helps you to remember that there's nothing wrong with the way that you're feeling. Anyone under the same circumstances would likely feel very similar. You're not weak. You don't lack resilience. There's nothing wrong with you. If you had a hard time concentrating today, it's because you're a human being with a mind. There's nothing wrong with you. So mindfulness, we're going to pay attention to our emotions. We're not going to judge them. We're just going to say what they are. We're going to get specific. Common humanity. And then kindness, a sense of kindness. Words and our verbal way of relating to ourselves is extremely powerful, in the same way that we can watch events on television. We can watch coverage of the war in Ukraine and feel a stress response happen. In the same way, we can speak to ourselves and we can calm ourselves down. This stands in the face of some common beliefs that we need to be hard on ourselves to get ourselves to be motivated, or that we need to, you know, put pressure on ourselves. The research doesn't pan out in that way. The more compassionate we can be, the more we are accepting of our own flaws, we give up less quickly, we're able to move forward and grow. So in this situation, whether it's multiple times today, whether something comes up in your personal life, you can rely back on these three things. Mindful, name your emotions. One other thing I want to say there is emotions are harder to deal with when they all come on top of each other, especially when they're conflicting, right? If we're being honest, for a lot of us, maybe you feel guilty about it, but there was a sense of relief that it wasn't your kid. That stands a bit in conflict with how angry you might feel. When emotions get all poured together, they can be harder for us to understand and move through. So it's a practice I call emotion sifting. By teasing one out, do I feel angry? Yes, I feel angry. There's anger there. I can name it. There's guilt there. I can name it. I feel guilty because I feel relieved. There's relief there. The more we can tease those emotions out, the more we can deal with them separately rather than having them all mixed together. They're harder to deal with when they come on top of each other. Clean emotions are easy, right? I'm just mad. Complex emotions are harder. So be mindful about how you're feeling. Label those emotions, all of them. Connect to a common humanity and be kind to yourself. Bonus points. There are a lot of people feeling this way right now. And I don't care if you aren't, you know, we have people calling internationally who I'm sure you can understand what it would be like to be afraid, and the atrocities of what happened to these kids is not, anyone with a heart could see that this is difficult. But if the situation that you worked with on this session was like, I'm getting a divorce, or my mom got diagnosed with cancer, or some other, you know, individual issue that might have been yours, there are still other people who are going through that same thing. So I would encourage you to think about who you might reach out to today, both to get yourself support, but also to be in community with them. Because in the same way that that person who's going through that scary situation, their attention will narrow and focus only on their situation, so will yours. And the more that we can share that experience with other people, it doesn't make the pain go away. But what compounds pain is when we feel alone or isolated. Kristin Neff is the researcher who has done the most work on self-compassion. She basically kicked off all of this research and did the brain science behind it. I'm going to post a link to one of her books. There's self-compassion that focuses on this kind of softer, more nurturing side. And then there's what she calls fierce self-compassion. That's in situations where something is wrong, where something is unjust. For those of you who thought about yesterday's events and anger came up and this desire to do something, but not knowing what to do, this book, The Fierce Self-Compassion Work, will be your best friend. Because this isn't about sitting idly by and just comforting ourselves. Sometimes we need that. But sometimes what we need is that fire inside of us that allows us to be brave and stand up and say, this isn't okay. So I wanted to share that resource with you guys. That's literally what I had planned for you. I didn't actually have any of this planned until a few hours ago. I'm going to hang out for a few more minutes. If you just came here for the exercise, feel free to go about your day. Know that I'm thinking about you guys. But if you have questions, I'm happy to hang out and, you know, answer questions or do whatever as well. I'm going for a run after this. I'm in my yoga pants because you don't think you can see the post of the book. Let's see. If you Google Fierce Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff. That's because I posted it to the host and to panelists. Thank you for saying that. I posted this to the wrong spot. Yes. Good job, Matt. There we go. There's a link to the Amazon listing for that book. It's so good. She's so great. Thanks everybody for joining. This was really great. Why is it so hard to be kind to ourselves? Oh man. That's a really great question. We get a lot of messages in our culture. Ooh, if our kids haven't heard about this, should I talk to them about it? We're going to talk about that. We get a lot of messages in our culture about, we tend to favor logic. We tend to favor reason. We tend to favor sort of head skills like that. Emotional things are seen as illogical. They're seen as, they're not given as much credibility. When ultimately, evolutionarily, the reason why we developed emotions is because they give you a lot of information really fast. They tell your body what it needs to do to keep you safe. So in our modern society, we push people away from emotions. And to be compassionate to ourselves, we need to be able to label and tune into and feel our emotions and know what to do with them. So the short answer there is that we kind of train it out of ourselves. We're also told that if you feel these negative emotions, something's wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's a very natural experience. Someone said, if our kids haven't heard about this, should I talk to them about it? This is difficult. What I would say is I would not put them in front of a TV watching the news. It is deliberately inflammatory from the colors they use to the font that they use to the repetitive nature of it. Having a compassionate conversation that involves a lot of like closeness and only the age appropriate facts that maybe they would need to know would be my advice. So maybe belaboring the fact and also details that they might not need to know. So if your kids are very young, I have a 3, almost 4-year-old, my conversation with her would likely be something, you know, if she hears about it at all, might be something like, hey, you know, a bad person did some bad things to a kid, to some kids. I want you to know that I love you. I'm here for you. I'm going to do everything that I can to keep you safe. Your teachers love you. If you ever need anything, you can go to them. You can go to me. So the detail that I would share with her is a lot less than even maybe I would share to my 6-year-old. Matt asked, what questions would you lead with to reach out to others to offer support, especially team members at work? One of the greatest things I saw happen today is a set of emails that literally just gave people permission to be human beings having a human experience. So I got an email from, this is a very large brand that I work with in my company. And surprisingly, there were, I mean, like if I said who this was, every single person on here would know exactly who it is. This person sent this email out with a bunch of people from their organization on it, a bunch of people that I was working with on it, partners. I mean, like there were a lot of people on this email. And he just said, hey, this is a hard day. Just made a statement. Like, let's just say what everybody's feeling. This is a hard day. And if anybody needs space or they need to reschedule, it's okay. you can also come and talk to me. So what I think is great about what he did is he put words to what other people were feeling. He called it out and just named it and then gave the invitation at that point. Because sometimes if we lead off with an invitation, other people kind of fall in line to the social niceties of, oh, no, I'm okay. You know, like the professional piece of it. I think leading with a place of empathy and being able to say, hey, almost like a statement of what we're going through is a good way to open the door. And the principles of mindfulness. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Those three components, if you can hit all three of them, and if you can do it regularly so that this is how you talk to yourself, like, hey, that meeting at work didn't go as well as you wanted it to. I feel disappointed. Yeah. I feel disappointed about it, but you did your best. You tried your hardest, and anybody in this situation would also feel disappointed. It's okay. You know what? You got this, and you're going to work harder next time, or you're going to try blah, blah next time, or you're going to reach out to this person next time. Those three components work across the board. I have two daughters, 12 and 14, navigating how to talk with them tonight. I'm planning to start with holding space for them to express their emotions and then share that I feel similar and express kindness toward them. Those three components work when we talk to other people. And it's funny because we do it naturally for other people. Like, of course you're afraid. Yeah. Those were kids that were kind of like you. Yeah. That would be scary. You know, and balancing that type of conversation with just some of the realities of it, that it's a situation that feels very salient to us because it's been all over the news and it's horrifying. The likelihood that it'll happen tomorrow in your school, small, but also still scary, right? So we're like juggling that yin and yang of like, this is a highly emotional situation. It's tough, but yeah, holding space for them. Same deal. Name emotions, connect to a common humanity. I bet a lot of the kids at your school are feeling that way today. I bet a lot of kids at school are feeling scared today. And then a kindness. I'm here for you. I love you. You can always talk to me. Those same three steps. Any other questions that I can answer? Thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it. I mean, flat out, I needed this today. If you listen to the podcast episode, I literally had my AirPods in, and I did not have my like giant podcast mic on me. And I just threw something up there that was like 3 minutes long and it sounds terrible and whatever. And I'm like crying on it, but I just needed this too. So, I appreciate you guys all for being here. It was really great. Thank you guys so much. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of other people. Reach out to other people. Please, please be a support to other people. Keep those three things in mind. And I mean, connect with me, however it is that you found out about this. Just stay in contact. All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves today.
Thank you so much for joining me for this episode where we featured a more hands-on, practical approach to handling difficult situations, particularly situations where emotionally it's been really difficult. There's one extra bit that I wanted to cover. Instead of directing you to other podcast episodes or whatever, I just wanted to address one really important factor before we close this episode out. Because it's something that I hear kind of under the surface from a lot of people when they are curious about how they might support someone else going through something difficult. So you heard it in the questions at the end of the self-compassion break. How do I talk to my kids? What do I say to my kids? You might have thought about this, like if a friend got sick or their spouse passed away or some horrible thing happened to somebody in your family, you might have that question, how do I support them? I don't know what to do. And that's a very compassionate question, right? The fact that you're asking it means that you want to support this person in a way that might help. And it's also a question that doesn't completely reveal the whole story of what we're asking. At the heart of that question, what we say out loud is, how do I support this person? But what we mean many times under the surface in situations like that is, how do I make this person feel better? What we're trying to do with our best interest in mind, that person's best interest in mind, we're being compassionate and empathetic. We want to make them feel better. And I want to say a quick bit about that intention, that desire, because it's one that gets in the way of people actually supporting and helping others. So imagine that, you know, a friend or someone has gone through something or is going through something incredibly difficult, and you want to support that person. The fact that you, and this is another thing I hear, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. The part of that sentence that we aren't saying out loud is, I don't know what to say to make them feel better. I don't know what to do to take the hurt away. And because we don't know what to do to make them feel better or take the hurt away, we end up doing nothing. We end up not supporting that person because we feel completely frozen in place, like nothing we do is going to help. Now, here's my hot take, and here's what I want you to keep in mind. There is nothing you can or should do to try to take those emotions away. You cannot make a death, an illness, a shooting, incredible adversity. You cannot make it more palatable. There's nothing you can say and nothing you can do. And in fact, you should not intervene to try to take that emotional experience away. Human beings have emotions for a reason. They give us information. They help us cope. They help us build resilience and move on. And when we take that from someone else, especially like in this case with a child, what we're doing is we're signaling a few things. We're signaling the incorrect message that those negative emotions are bad or wrong or need to be gotten rid of. They are just as normal, just as natural, just as valid, just as worthy of feeling as joy and positive emotion. And as human beings, we need the full spectrum of emotions in order to be resilient. So the goal here is not to signal to that person that those emotions need to be gotten rid of or should go away. We also need to recognize that it is not our job as the support person, and it's not in our locus of control to be able to take those away. There's nothing you can say about a situation where something truly adverse is happening to make that person feel better. And when you try, the word for that is gaslight. We're telling that person, no, don't feel bad about this situation, because likely it makes us feel bad. It hurts us to watch somebody we care about hurting. But the bottom line is, sometimes adversity just hurts, and we have to feel it in order to move through it. And if we don't feel it, there's a kind of line in psychology that what we resist persists. The more we resist sadness, grief, anger, betrayal, guilt, all of those emotions, the more we resist them, the more they take root and take over. So when we resist them, when we tell somebody, don't feel this, and we actively help them fight against them, what we're doing is prolonging them and making them more difficult. And not only that, when we deny that a situation, quote, should make you feel that way, to go back to the word that I used, gaslighting, that person, it adds to the confusion, like, no, I feel grief, I feel anger, I feel betrayed, whatever the feeling might be. It feels like that emotion is not valid when it absolutely is. It is valid and normal and needs to be felt. So I wanted to make this point, this belabored point, because so many times we find ourselves frozen. We don't know how to support someone else because our goal is to take the pain away. And while that is a compassionate and noble goal, it is an impossible goal. And if that impossible goal is what is keeping you from simply being there, simply listening, simply sitting in silence or holding space for another person who's going through something difficult, if that impossible goal is what's keeping you from doing that, we need to abandon that goal. We need to abandon that goal anyway, but especially in a situation where it's keeping us from supporting the people we love. So I wanted to make sure that I shared this because it wasn't something that I went through on the webinar, but it is something that's important. So let me give you one last thing. What do you do instead? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. We already know we cannot take the hurt and the pain away. Follow the three steps of self-compassion. Help them be mindful, especially with kids. Being mindful means help them label their emotions. There's another, you know, what we resist persists. We say that in psychology. Name it to tame it is another one. Labeling your emotions is an incredibly effective way to help you sort through them. It doesn't make them go away, but it makes them more clear and more easily understood. And that's huge. So the first step in self-compassion is getting mindful, just being aware and just saying what's happening. That can be incredibly helpful. If you are an outsider in a situation where you're supporting someone else, you have an incredibly strong ability to look at that situation more clearly than the person who's in it. And so you might say things like, you know what? It sounds like you might be angry. I could understand why you might be angry. You sound sad at the same time. Of course you're sad. So helping that person put names to what they're feeling can be incredibly valuable. Step two, once we've named it, once we've gotten mindful, self-compassion says connect to a common humanity. Of course you feel angry. I would feel angry. Anyone would feel angry in a similar situation. Let them know that their feelings, name them, and that they are absolutely normal and that any person in that situation would feel that way. And then finally, offer a kindness. I'm here for you. You can call me anytime. I am not going to feel overburdened by you calling me and wanting to talk about this. You are strong. These emotions are hard, but you are bigger than these emotions. So self-compassion gives us those three steps for taking care of ourselves, but they are also a blueprint and a roadmap for helping other people, even though we can't take the pain away. So I really hope this helps as you think about, you know, the next time you have someone in your life that you need to support. I hope this helps you think about how you might do that. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who choose to spend some of your precious time with me each and every week. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I'll see you next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.